What's up, guys? We are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
Man, Henry, we are back with another one.
A Shot of Lime production.
A big weekend just went by, but before we get into it, guys, we just want to say, if you haven't already, make sure you go and subscribe to the Pound for Pound newsletter. Guys, it's the best place to stay up to date on everything from the top storylines in combat sports world and more to UFC recaps, event previews, and other combat sports news. Guys, as you know, the newsletter goes out every week, so you don't want to miss it. So head over to poundforpound.com to subscribe. It is completely free. I know y'all was wondering, but it's completely free. And the link is in the description of this podcast. All right, guys, support the show. And as always, like, subscribe. But let's get into it, Henry. Let's get into it. Big UFC this weekend. And I would say a card with high implications for that main event. Hey, as we think, come to think about it, Henry, isn't this the guy that called me out that one time? That's Imavov, right?
Did he call you out?
Imavov, when he called me out and Paulo Costa called me out at that one time, right?
Yeah, all these guys want the Nigerian Nightmare, bro.
They want a piece of me, man. They want a piece of me. They just can't let me live. They won't let me chill. They see me in that young La in LA, you know, doing a little something. And they get antsy. They like, nah, I need to fight him. Yeah. You know, so
well, you know what it is, Kamaru. You know what it is, Kamaru. They probably think they see you on movie sets, which we're gonna talk about that. I mean, Kamaru over here, you know, going straight Holly. He went from Hollywood to Hollywood. I mean, I don't blame Kamaru. You know, the private planes, you know, the silk pajamas.
Relax.
I'd be all over the Nigerian. I was like, give me that guy.
Hey, but this guy puts you on your ass too. So, but yeah, Henry, it was a big weekend. I was out of town. My road dog, Justin Gaethje, we were out in Atlanta. We were doing a little bit of something. I can't, you know, I don't want to go into too much details. I don't want to spoil anything but we were shooting. We were in front of the camera. We were doing a little something. So I'm going to tell y'all when that comes up later, at a later date when it's time to reveal what that was about. But yeah, we did a little something together, which was great. It was great to see my man, Justin, you know, since his fight. I don't think I've seen him too much. We've talked several times, FaceTime and whatnot, but, you know, getting to actually see him and spend some time with him, that was good. And I like that very much.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. Well, my weekend. Thanks for asking, Kamaru.
I saw you. I saw a little clip of I didn't know how to take that. Wait, did you? It looked like you were recording something.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, someone took off. You tell a story.
No, there's my little girl, man. And first of all, you know, sometimes you got to go Southwest, you know. You probably gotta put me on your payroll, Kamaru Usman.
What do you mean? You mean the airline?
Yeah. We flew Southwest to Cancun.
Hey, it is what it is. It's a short flight, and plus, yeah. you got a team with you. You know, you got a couple of people that you need to, you know, pay for. So it is what it is.
Yeah, no, 100%. But anyhow, dude, like my little girl, dude, like you got to think about it too, man. Because I have compassion for little kids. They want to play, man. You imagine you want to be on a plane for 3.5-4 hours and not have fun? So there's that times, bro, that I allow my little girl to kind of, you know, do a few strides here and there before somebody tells me, you know, hey, you got to put your kid in, just to kind of let them get out. And this time I allowed America to get out, and you know, she bit the dust, dude. You know, she was out for a 10 count, but she got up.
Wait, but it looked like you were recording. That was a long So she was at the front of the plane. You were towards the back, and you're recording her. First of all, how she get to the front of the plane without you,
dude? It was quick, man. You know, Kamaru, when you're a dad and your kid freaking you turn around, dude. If you're not on them 100%, dude, like they're gone. So she like it was already too late. She's like, you know what, I'm gonna, you know. But I find joy in seeing joy, my little girl. You know what I'm saying? So when I saw her kind of go up and down and then bomb, just like, screw it. This is too good. This is too funny. So But what I love about it, she got back up like nothing happened. So I appreciate that.
That's good. As long as she didn't cry that flight, that's good.
Oh no, she did, and that's why we kind of let her get out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense now. It makes sense.
But Kamaru, moving on, man. I don't know if you saw this, Kamaru. I want to pull it up, dude. I want to get your reactions. Dana White was in the lunchroom with Ali and Kamaru and Khabib Nurmagomedov, and I want you to take a look. I want you to give me your reaction to this.
You know, one of the things what make you greatest fighter, when you're 36, 37, and you have 15 win streak, like back in the days, you defend your title many times. You're one of the best of all time. And you give opportunity to shine for young guys. This is make you great. So this is what I think.
I think this is what I think. Don't have problems.
And can you imagine if he fight with Shavkat and he beat? Shavkat is a beast. He's undefeated. And he beat. He's going to become contender.
You are this is what I try to tell your manager every time we make a fight.
This guy is my friend. He's like my big brother. I don't do business with him last 5 years. You know why? Because I am nervous.
Brother, if you're nervous, don't talk. Listen. If you're gonna fight versus Stephen Thompson, like today,
yeah,
and versus Shavkat, what fight's gonna make you nervous? What fight gonna push you on training?
You said it yourself. What does it mean if he beats Wonderboy? What does it mean if he beats Shavkat?
Your next contender?
100%.
Done deal.
Dude! Kamaru, Dana White, and Khabib shook on. It's almost like Dana White says, I'm making this fight next. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider, Kamaru, as I'm seeing this, because people don't really know, like, coming off from a serious injury and then jumping into a killer like Shavkat. I know you guys have trained in the past. But what's your take on all that, man? I mean, obviously, you know.
You know what? Like, that's this. First of all, I didn't see any of this, but someone had said to my friend, shout out to Will, was like, yo, you trending? I was like, what do you mean trending? Like, something came out on social media. I guess they're cutting up these clips and they're putting these clips up to make it seem like this or whatnot. Oh, this fight, you, Shavkat. First and foremost, I'm not even in the game right now. Okay? So I'm not even worried. That's the least of my... I'm not even worried about any of that. But the biggest thing, just to talk about this, the biggest thing, because all this, I see these clips are rotating and they're circulating around. The biggest thing you have to realize, there was one of the clips... Because I guess it's from a special or something, or a documentary that was posted online, right? I think it was a documentary, the UFC documentary. So the one thing that you have to notice is during one of the clips, they were in the war room, right? They brought Khabib in the war room and they're trying to make the fight. Look at the board of the war room. Look at who's the champions. Look at the places that the guys are at. That'd tell you when this was done. Everyone's acting like this clip is something that was done last week. They filmed this and then they posted it out. Guys, this was done a year ago.
Oh, shit.
And,
okay.
And after that, guess what? I stepped in there on 9 days' notice and fought possibly the most dangerous guy in the UFC at that time, Khamzat Chimaev. So what you saying? There's nothing to say, you know. When I do get back into the octagon, I don't give a flying frick who it is. If it's Cousin John, if it's this guy, if it's that guy, if it's Shavkat, if it's JDM, if it's this guy, if it's Leon Edwards, or if it's Bilal, I don't care who it is. When I'm ready to step back into the octagon and I want to fight somebody, I don't give a shit. I'll fight who I need to fight. So that's the thing about it. And look, they're cutting the clips up. They're putting them here. And then this little clip of me moving around with him. And that's the one thing that I hate about the gym. Like, cameras should not be allowed in the gym. Especially nowadays when all these guys are social media guys. Everybody's trying to post this, post that, make themselves look like this. Cameras should not be allowed in the gym. That was maybe second time. The first time I think me and him like kind of did a little something is doing like a wrestling practice. And I was showing him a move. That ended up all over the network, you know, all over online. And then this, I believe he's preparing for a fight And I'm like, okay, let me just help you out, be a good training partner, give you, which we're not training partners, but let me just give you that look. And I'm giving him a look. It's not like we're sparring or doing anything like that. Yeah, I'm giving him a look.
Let's pull it up real quick.
Let's pull this up. You see that?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, based on the way that I'm moving, tell me right here. Tell me who you think he's going to fight based on the way that I was moving. Okay. He just fought someone recently.
You're going to have to give me some more clues, Kamaru.
Look at the way I'm hopping around.
Let me ask you a question. Is he white?
Yeah. Yep.
I probably have to say Wonder Boy.
Exactly. So, yeah. It's just, you know, it is what it is.
I saw that bounce.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, I'm not, at the end of the day, people act like, oh, you're scared to fight this guy. You're scared to fight this guy. You don't become champion to defend over and over and over because you're scared to fight somebody. But
I will say this, Kamaru, is Hamzat did send out a tweet. Can we also pull up that tweet, Ryan? Pull it up. So that kind of confused me a little bit. So I felt like he said, you know, Kamaru doesn't want some. Somebody else doesn't want some. Like, I'm next for the title shot.
See, this is, y'all get me going again.
So you guys, back in the day, you guys never really trained together then?
Not really. I've moved around with him a little bit just to kind of give him a look. Here we go. Oh, there we go. 18. He tweeted a picture of me, Leon, and Kobe under a rock or something. You see that?
In other words, what he's saying, Kamaru, is he's gonna crush you guys. That's what a rock does.
Let me see. I'm gonna save that photo. Boom. JDM is hurt. Usman and Kobe don't want it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to face the winner of Leon. Listen, but this is one of those things because he does come down here in South Florida to train at a gym that I've been training at before he was even, you know, hanging. You know what? Don't pull me down. See, now the competitor in me is going to come out and I'm going to start talking shit. Listen, I'm not even in that place. But all I can say is before he was dreaming of fighting in the UFC, you know, I've been in this gym training and doing whatever and helping my guys, you know, get to the top while I got to the top. So, yeah, now he comes. I know he comes down to South Florida and he trains, but it is what it is. I understand he's young and he's a hungry contender or whatnot. But listen, there's this thing called respect, and you show the respect in order for you to get the respect. And I'm the type of guy who I've been to the mountaintop and then I've come down, and you saw in that clip, I was helping you out. I was giving you a look. You know, it's not one of those things to where you can sit here and say, oh, I'm scared of you. I don't want it. Listen, I took Hamzat on 9 days' notice. And didn't him and Hamzat fight or something? Didn't Hamzat beat him?
No.
Before?
No, they never fought.
Or maybe they never fought. But but it is what it is. Like, Hamzat was arguably scarier than him. And he's been hurt. Hamzat hadn't at that point fought a fight that lasted really till, you know, most of his fights ended in the first round. So it is what it is. I just let these guys talk. You know, I'm not in that place. When it's time for me to come out and dance, I step in that octagon and I dance all over motherfuckers. So it is what it is. Let them say whatever they need to say. But when it's time for me to go out there and do my thing, I'm going to go out there and do my thing. So I don't have anything to say to him. He's a young, hungry guy. He's supposed to talk like that. He's supposed to have that bravado. And that's good on him, but... Listen,
yeah,
let's
well,
keep the
well, it's all good. So, will you entertain a fight like that? Obviously, Kamaru. I mean, there's a lot of opponents.
I don't care who it is. Okay. Yeah, I don't care who it is. When it's time for me to dance again, I'm gonna dance on dudes.
That's it.
Period.
Moving on. Obviously, you know, there's a lot that happened over the weekend too. Did you see the brawl with Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz? Did you see that whole brawl and the coach? I don't know, man. I will say this. Let's pull it up. Let's pull up the video real quick. Let's see this brawl real quick, man.
Apparently, it was because Nate didn't want to do a face-off with him again. And so I guess Nate walked off the stage and was like, nah, I'm out. And so Masvidal, they were drawing back and forth. And then you see a bunch of people in the crowd, cameras. And I don't know what happened. Who got hit? Who swung at who? Because I don't think Nate was involved. Nate was already backed out of that.
Look, there's his boxing coach. I think it's Capatillo.
Who?
He's trained. He's a Mexican cat.
Yeah.
The maroon shirt.
Oh, down in there. Oh, okay. But I don't see Masvidal, though. I didn't see Masvidal throw a punch or anything like that. But, you know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, these kind of things happen when you're, you know, especially with guys like that. You know, guys like that that love the fight. They love the chaos of a fight or whatnot.
But you know what it does, Kamaru? It sells the fight. It puts everybody in a position to make. Yeah, of course, man. Because really, the only reason why this fight was more likely postponed is because they weren't getting that reaction. There wasn't promotion going on. There wasn't that buzz. And now after this, it helps to kind of bring the fight into that limelight. I mean, it's the Muhammad Ali aura. It's the Floyd Mayweather. It's the Conor McGregor's, what they have to do to be able to, you know, sell tickets. And not saying saying that the fight won't sell tickets, but I'm saying is what they really worry about is the pay-per-view number, because that's where everybody truly makes the real money.
I understand. I hear what you're saying, you know, but for me personally, watching them just do that, watching that go down, didn't make me want to see the fight any more or any less. And it doesn't do anything for me. You know, at the end of the day, but when you're talking about the casual fans, yeah, I'm sure it might help them. But yeah, for me, I still wanted to see the fight anyways. So I'm going to see the fight anyways. But this doesn't
remember the casual fans is 98% of them, Kamaru. Like, think about it. Like, there's not a lot of guys that really really study the sport like myself and you. But anyhow, I watched the fight, dude. You know, I might illegally stream it, but I'll watch it.
Wow. You just gonna come out here and say you about to steal. Jesus. What is going on in the world nowadays?
Anyhow, moving on. Ryan Garcia just got arrested, man, for a felony vandalism at the Beverly Hills Hotel after allegedly causing $15,000 in damage. I mean, Kamaru, where's this dude's head at, man? I mean, you know, the dude's just going crazy, man. Or he reminds me of it's kind of like Miley Cyrus a little bit. You know, when she was, you know, the girl next door, America's sweetheart, and all of a sudden she just started going X-rated. I kind of feel like that with Ryan Garcia. But whatever it is, I don't know, man. I might have to go back to his mental health. I think he's pulled out of a fight before. I think it was against Fortuna back in the day, or back when, like maybe a few years ago. What do you think of all this, Kamaru?
I don't, you know, they say when it rains, it pours. But, you know, in a situation like this, Ryan is at the height of his publicity right now, to where everyone is, you know, wants to be involved in some way, shape, form, or fashion, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's this. He said they just want to have his name in their mouth. So, you know, like, who knows? Like, I don't know all the things that happened. Who knows? For them to just throw out a number, $15,000 worth of damage. Has there been a police investigation when someone walked around the room and said, okay, there's a receipt for that. That costs $200. That costs $10,000. That costs $5,000. No, like someone just threw out a number because they wanted a clickbait and wrote that. You know, Ryan is just at a place right now where everyone is going to try to come for him for anything, you know, because it's clickbait and it sounds good and it looks good for them. It gets eyeballs for them. You know, just to talk about Ryan Garcia. So, you know, we can't say, oh, he's going through mental health issues. That's why this happened. We all know that this could have easily been, okay, he's in his room. Him and his girl, they're maybe making an OnlyFans video. And then all of a sudden something accidentally, boom, bumps the lamp, boom, in the Beverly Hills Hotel. That's like 5-10 G's right there. And they're like, oh, $15,000 worth of vandalism, Ryan, writing it up, calling the police, and come on.
Okay, let me read it here real quick. Ryan has been open about struggles with mental health over the years, and at this time, he is dealing with an immense emotional burden, Chavez said in the statement. The support and understanding from fans and public are crucial as he navigates his personal challenges. We are working diligently to provide Ryan with the resources he needs.
Press release.
Our team is committed to ensuring that he receives the appropriate help and care to address both his intimate and long-term well-being. We ask for continued support and compassion as Ryan focuses on his family and his health at this time. And I will say this, Kamaru, There is one thing that he's kind of dealing with that I will say is probably, you know, people handle it different, and I've gone through it, is his mom was just diagnosed with cancer, man. And, you know, when you're going through the trolling and you're all eyes on you, and you probably tend to judge yourself a little bit, and then your mom's going through this crazy disease that has taken so many lives. I mean, he probably doesn't know Kamaru. I mean,
I get that, but I can't use that as an excuse for him to be occurring. If anything, God forbid, I'm in that situation. If anything, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be in my house. I want to reflect. I want to take this in. I'm not, you know, knocking over lamps or whatever or acting out or at these. Yeah, but why is it that because someone else is going through something that does, you know, hurt my heart, I'm going to be outside doing all these crazy things. I never understood that. Why is that? Why is it that someone else is dealing with something that's painful? And I understand that, you know, and I want to be there for them. But instead of me being there for them, I'm out getting blitzed, drunk, popping pills, doing drugs, doing all that to cope with something. Like, I never understood that, you know. So if that's the case here, I hope he gets the help that he needs. You know, obviously my heart goes out to him. Mental health is something that is serious and, you know, it's not to be played with. He needs to work through that diligently. But at the same time, there's not never an excuse for you negatively impacting yourself as a man, because Ryan worked his heart out to become Ryan Garcia that the world knows and love.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree 100%. You know, Ryan, get better, dude. Get well. Take the time. You know, you talk about faith, man. Go to you know, be around people of faith. And best of luck to him, dude. But anyhow, Absolutely. Moving on. Michael Chandler versus Conor McGregor. Is it happening? UFC 303 no longer being advertised on pay-per-view.
UFC have pivoted to the Conor McGregor free fight. That's it. Privated. Oh, put him on private. Basically, the Conor McGregor free fights videos posted a few days ago. And then it also says Conor McGregor and Dana White have been silent. You know, of course, Michael Chandler is posting self quotes on Instagram. People are so stupid. First and foremost, let me debunk that. That's not true. Most of those aren't even true. First and foremost, it's not that they're not promoting that. They are promoting that. I watched a couple fights this last weekend, and they were definitely promoting UFC 303 International Fight Week. It's one of the biggest weekends for the UFC. So why wouldn't they promote it? They are promoting it. Conor McGregor is still being promoted on there. So who knows? Secondly, Dana White and Conor have been silent. First of all, Conor's working. Or he's dealing with something. Or he's going through something. So of course he's going to be silent. What? Does he need to come out with his phone every minute on live and say, hey, guys, I'm going to the doctor. Hey, guys, I'm going to training. Hey, guys, I'm sitting here. Get a life. When the fight comes up, the fight comes up. Watch the fight. But listen, Dana, of course, Dana's going to be silent. If there's something that he's dealing with that he needs to work through, he's working through it, and he's trying to make sure that he puts on the best show for the company, as they always do. So, yes, that's probably why they've been silent. Michael Chandler's been posting self-help videos. Listen, Michael always posts self-help quotes and videos. He always, because that's the type of dude that he is. He promotes that thing, that mental health and you doing the best that you can as a man. Michael always promotes that because that's who he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. So all these fans that are reaching, all these clickbait, all this, whatever, stop it. If the fight happens, it happens. If the fight doesn't happen, guess what? It doesn't happen.
Yeah, right now Conor McGregor just posted like a clip of him sparring, man. He looks good, man. He's a pretty accurate southpaw, man. And I think the biggest thing, though, is that there's a lot of striking, even in these clips. I mean, how many guys are really shooting in on him? Because that's more like, oh, there's a shot there. I mean, people are going to go out there.
And touch him with a knee and a left hand. Ooh, jumps on the angle. Ooh, I like that. I like that by the C-Mac. I like that.
Yeah, he's probably enjoying it, man. Like,
you see that left hand?
Oh, this is one thing that I will say about Conor. Kamaru is the fact that he's got all the money, man. He doesn't need to fight. He wants to fight, and that's the only thing that kind of keeps me, that's the only hope that we really do have for for the 29th of June is the fact that he has all the money in the world. He has more money than Dana White, which is crazy to say. And he still wants to fight.
Listen, I don't... Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just don't know what the speculation is. You know what I mean? I don't know if Connor is... Maybe he wants X, Y, and Z. I mean, these are things that this is the only thing that I can think of. Or possibly that Connor McGregor is injured.
First of all, I haven't seen both of their wallets, so I don't know who has more money than who. But all I know is they're both in the tax bracket. I'm not in just yet. I will get to, but I'm not there yet. So that's that. But no, Connor's training. He's training. If Connor's hurt, then he's going to be hurt and he's going to go to the doctor. And we know he's going to potentially try to get it fixed. Connor needs to fight. And when I say he needs to fight, I don't mean he needs to fight because he needs the money. Connor needs to fight for him mentally. He needs to fight. He put the time in, you know, and he wants to get in there and he wants to perform. So he needs to fight.
Yeah.
Michael Chandler needs to fight. Michael Chandler has waited over a year and a half. He needs to fight if he's going to continue this as a career. So.
And if we and if we could say this, because at the end of the day, Conor McGregor is a cash cow. I'm pretty sure he's going to be taken care of by the UFC. So if you have to
In what way? What do you mean?
Financially. Because if you do, if he's waited for so long.
But we just, but we just said that. It's not, this is not a, this Conor's not doing this for money.
No, he's so, not. But you don't think Michael Chandler's thinking of the dollar bills? Or is he that honorable Kamaru?
I mean, everybody wants to be compensated the right way for whatever they do. Hey. So, of course, I'm sure Michael Chandler wants to be compensated for that.
Okay.
But
let's move on. Let's move on, dude. Hopefully the fight happens. If it doesn't, it's all good. But moving on, man. UFC Fight Night in St. Louis. I mean, I'm sorry. Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
The KFC Arena. I mean, did you catch the damn main event?
Main event, I caught a clip of it. Well, not a clip. I think I saw maybe the last round. And I don't know, Henry. I'm just gonna go out and say this. I don't know what's been going on lately, but it seems like either referees had a talking to where they're just stopping fights super early now. To where before they would let a fight be stopped.
Yeah.
Now because it's like there's certain times where it's now, it's like they're stopping it super early to where they're questionable. I think this one was definitely a questionable. Look, the guy's there. The guy's, let him fall down then, okay? Let him fall down. Okay, he didn't take, you saw that shot. He was partially blocked on his guard. Let him fall down. If you think he's really out of there, let him fall down. He didn't fall down. You can't just jump in the middle of that. Some guys play possum there. Some guys do the rope-a-dope because... Hey, let him fall down. Let him show you that he's really hurt. That's not there. You just stepped in the middle of him because you thought he was hurt. You know, and there was a what was it? There was another fight before this as well where something like that happened. So
with him too, with Jason Herzog too.
I don't remember if it was him, but yeah, it's like let the fighters fight.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. Terrible stoppage. I mean, Dana's talked about it. I mean, he was up.
I might have swung on him. Nah, I'm dying.
I mean,
he was up.
He was up on the scorecards too, Jerry Cannonier. Imamov is a lot better than what I thought, man. If you're you're able to make a guy like Jerry Cannonier wobble like that and hurt him, and there was still another round left, like he probably, it seemed like the fight was kind of geared towards more of, it seemed like the wave started going more on his side, but you never know. I think the biggest thing that I take from this, Kamaru, is you gotta hold judges and you gotta hold these referees. Like who's overlooking them? There should be a third party that looks over everybody and everything. If the commission looks over us, who's looking over the commission? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like there should be a suspension. It shouldn't be according to, like, it's almost like the UFC, the fighters should also have a board with judges and with referees, ultimately. Obviously, I appreciate what the referees do. I appreciate what the judges do. But at the end of the day, man, you know, you're fucking up somebody's pay, dude. Like, Jerry Cannon here just got paid half of his money because he didn't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I know Jerry's got tons of kids. You know what I'm saying? He lives out here in AZ. So where could we find a third party to overlook, which I believe should be the UFC fighters that should also overlook the referees and that should also overlook the judges. I mean, a lot of this stuff, like for a fighter, for me at least, I'm going to speak for myself. Let somebody break me. Let my knee fall. Let me buckle. Let me literally curl up if I'm on bottom, which I've done before. I've been knocked out like that, and I appreciate that when Big John McCarthy stepped in there and did this when Demetrius Johnson knocked me the hell out. But yeah. If I was still good and there's a championship fight in there and I'm still on my feet, let me work.
No, I 100% understand. I hear you, and I understand that. I think you are right. Let the fighters work. But at the same time, is their job, the referee's job, to save you from yourself. But in that situation, when you stop a fight early and the fighter goes, "What? I'm okay. What are you doing? You didn't save him from himself. You stopped the fight too early." So I know there's a fine line. The referee's job is super hard when they're in there. So I wouldn't want to be them anyways. But yes, I think the referees could let fighters work a little bit more so where they don't play the biggest role in that fight and having it be questionable. But it is what it is. The decision happens, and hopefully Cannonier gets another shot at that.
Yeah, you know, 100%. But let's move on. They got to run it back. The co-main event, you know, Reyes finally got a knockout, a nice little pushback, little pullback. The dude was chasing him a little bit too much.
That's the thing with Dominic Reyes. You can't really chase guys like this. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And he is explosive. He's shown that before, but obviously he had a couple of setbacks. And so people forget. Yeah, he had a couple of setbacks. So people forget just how tough he was and what he does possess. It kind of reminds me of somebody right now, you know? Because they had a couple of setbacks and they chilling. People forget that they still a dog out here. That they still, you know what I mean, Henry? They forget.
Yeah. And sometimes, honestly, Kamar, we're on the same boat. You know?
Two fight.
But this is what determines how big of a dog that we are. Okay, can I tell you something, Kamaru?
What's up?
Before I became the Triple C, I lost two in a row. After I lost two right. in a row, dude, I went on a rampage. Right. Won two belts, beat Demetrius Johnson.
Johnson
did the whole thing.
Right.
And it's what it is. But I think with Dominic right now, he's in a position where this really helps him, because you almost feel like he loses this. If he lost this fight, you almost feel like the UFC is probably thinking about cutting him. And the only reason why I say that, Kamaru, is because he's been knocked out viciously, man. Like majority of his fight, like he's been out.
But look at this too. Look at this too. Just real quick, if you're looking at that, the shot selection here by this guy was, if you run that clip back a little bit, let that clip roll, the shot selection from him here, it's just, man, it was beautiful. Look, he lands this, boom, follows up. Look at this. Don't smother himself. Left hand, right, catches him, knee. Oof. So it's beautiful, man. You know, first and foremost, it's always tough when you're, you know, you've dropped a couple and people start to kind of question and people start to kind of doubt you and say, oh, you're finished. You can't do it anymore. So, you know, it was great for him to go out there. I think it was four in a row. Yeah. He dropped four or five in a row. Yeah, but he was able for him to get back on the horse and do his thing. So, you know, more power to him. Congratulations, Dominic Reyes. And hopefully Dustin Jacoby, my man, is doing good. It's always tough to watch a knockout. Obviously, we always celebrate the winners, but, you know, more often than not, we don't think about the losers who are on the losing end of that. So, you know, shout out to Dominic Reyes and Dustin Jacoby.
Yeah, and then we have, obviously, Raul Rosas.
Ricky Tercio, and he gets the submission again. I did see the clip of this. Ricky Tercio, I believe, was the Ultimate Fighter champion.
I like it. I like the way he started out. He started off firing those fucking kicks. He didn't even touch gloves with them. Look, he didn't want to touch gloves. You see how Rosas wanted to touch gloves?
Yeah, I ain't with that, bro.
Yeah, I like that, bro. Because personally, that's gangster, dude. He's like, nah. I was like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I think he said, fuck you, watch. Go back.
Is that what you do?
I'm a fan. You know what? I will say this. Like on the fifth round when I fought Demetrius, it was just like, fuck, dude, we're in the fifth against the guy with the most top defense in UFC history. I even asked, I was like, hey, man, let's bump it up. Winner wins all. But look at that. Go back real quick. Go back in the beginning. Look, look what he said. He said, I think he says, fuck you. Watch, I love it.
Did he say it?
Look. He said, fuck you.
I didn't say F you or F no. But,
nah,
hey.
Fuck you. Fuck you. There it is. But that being said, I mean, it's like, you know, people, you know, you're only as good as your last fight. And obviously, Raul Rosas won. He did win the fight. By submission, but check it out. Come on, I gotta show you. I gotta What's show up? Everybody the world. You know, people call me the king of cringe, but you also gotta call me Mr. 100%. The underdog pit results from the last UFC in Louisville, Kentucky. Triple C got them all right. What's up, Kamaru?
First and foremost, Triple C copied my picks, as always. You know what? Next time, what we will do next time, we'll let Triple C go first. The next underdog picks, we'll let you go first. But how is it? Okay, so we're looking at so the one that you got over me was the Raul Rosas. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Can we make that a little bigger? And we were talking about, what was it, the takedowns? Mm-hmm. And you said we both said lower. We both said lower, so how did you beat me on that?
It might be a technical difficulty then from
no,
from
actually, our producer. I won, bruh. I won this. I think that's a technical error from our producers because I believe the fight here where it was is the Raul Rosas got higher than three takedowns. He got 4 takedowns out of 7. Check the stats. I'm not crazy. I'm a mathematician. Yes, that's on you. I actually won this because I had.
So you telling me Bruno. I lost, Logan? Are you telling?
Yes. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. We didn't go 4-for-4 because if you look at the Bruno Ferreira, he had less than 29 or 25 significant strikes. No, actually, he had lower. So go ahead and check the stats, my man. Henry said higher. I said lower. He had lower. So check the stats, my man. Let's go ahead and check that. While we on air,
What's going on over here, Logan?
Check that.
You sleeping on the job, dude? What's going on?
Yeah, they trying to make me look bad on here. You see how they do me? They trying to make me look bad on here. Y'all see them.
Hold on, Logan.
But they don't know I come with my homework. I did my homework. All this knowledge up here. All this knowledge.
Yeah, but can I touch the two, Kamaru? It's like, I love the underdog like picks because you really got to know your game. And that's been so much better rather than just picking, Sosa was going to win. And then he gets knocked the hell out because of a stupid-ass mistake. I love what underdog is doing because it really gets the nitty-gritty and how good your IQ is. I've been doing so much better on underdog than any other site just based on who's going to win by knockout or KO or anything like that because, you know, it really comes down to the nitty-gritty. Do you know the gas tank of your actual fighter? So big shout out to Underdog.
Yes, Henry, you're right. Underdog is the easiest place, of course, to play fantasy sports. And as always, guys, playing their pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like significant strikes and or takedowns. Underdog has one of the biggest offerings in the MMA game, and you can win up to 100 times your money. They also have a pick. They also have picks for every other major sports like the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Underdog is available in 30 states, including California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida. These are our picks for UFC Fight Night this weekend, Perez versus Tyra. Live from UFC Apex, it's an awesome weekend of fights, and Underdog Fantasy is the place to play. Right now, all users to Underdog will receive up to $250 in bonus cash for their first deposit and a pick'em special. Use code P4P when you sign up. Support the show and click the link down below in the description to get started. Thank you, Underdog Fantasy, for your support of the show. All right, guys, it's a big weekend coming up. Don't forget, you've got Gervonta Tank Davis taking on Frank Martin. This is a really, really big fight. This is a highly anticipated fight because Frank Martin, yes, he's relatively still unknown, but Frank Martin's got skills. And I think this is going to be a really, really good test for Gervonta Davis in his fight back. And then, of course, the Mexican monster, David Benavidez, taking on Alexander I'll be butchering the last name, but let's just Alexander G-Man, my dog. This is going to be a great fight. I think this is a big fight for David Benavidez moving up. He goes out there and he takes care of Alexander. Now he puts himself in a position to be able to fight the winner of Bivol versus Bitterbeev. So later on, hopefully this year. So that's going to be a banging fight. I can't wait to watch that. And also, don't forget, AKO4 is going down in Abuja, Nigeria, for the first time this weekend as well in Abuja, Nigeria. So, guys, make sure you watch that. If you don't have your tickets yet, make sure you go to Naira Box or Dila to get your tickets. But, Henry, how are you feeling about these fights, man? No, you get to watch your boy, the Mexican Monster.
Yeah, first of all, the Mexican Monster, obviously, he's got a tough task, dude. I mean, you cannot, you know, anybody that comes from Eastern Europe is a freaking hammer, dude. But David Benavidez, he's just too experienced. He's got too much power. He's going up. I still don't think he's reached his prime as good as he is. And then obviously you got Frank Davis, versus Frank Martin.
Frank Martin.
I mean, Frank Martin, I mean, what is it that he's truly made out of? We're gonna decide, because he's going up against one of the pound for pound best fighters in the world. And these guys have talked about sparring in the past. I mean, Frank Martin doesn't have that many fights, bro, if you really think about it, for boxing. Because a lot of these guys do get padded records. 18 fights, how good is he really? I mean, Tank talked about him putting the hammer on him and sparring. I mean, it is yet to be known. But I will say this. The dude comes from the school of amateur boxing. I mean, the dude has to be good. So I'm watching this fight. I think this fight card is going to be absolute fire. And I'm excited. I'm excited, more importantly, man, to watch the Mexican Monster.
If you don't know about David Benavidez, guys, we had the pleasure of sitting down with him last week and talking with him. And I was amazed by all the things that I found out about him. And I think you will be too. If you go back and check out the episode that we did last week on Pound for Pound with the Mexican Monster, David Benavidez, who will be fighting this weekend, Henry, your dog. So, I'm excited. But guys, stay with us. But yeah, from now, we are
out.